If you wish to follow along, turn to Romans chapter 9. We will kind of pick up where I left off last Sunday. What I want to do is read Romans chapter 9, verses 27 through 33. Isaiah, as everyone here probably already knows, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he, that is God, he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and Gomorrah. You see that? We'd have been just like them, just like them. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, now think about this, that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained unto righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith.
Amen.
But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why or wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith.
Amen.
See it? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, how did they seek it? That's what he's saying. But as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone.
Yes.
As it is written, behold, and that is God speaking. That is God speaking. As it is written. Now yes, it may well have been Isaiah that wrote these words down, but Isaiah was writing under inspiration. These are God's words. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense.
Amen.
God meant him that way.
Yes, sir.
I didn't say just it. It's a him. The stone of stumbling, this rock of offense, is a person, because he says, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
My title is this, and that's what I will spend most of my time on. I have actually four things that I want to get to, but I'll make a few statements before we get there. But here's my title. This is my subject. Faith and never law works.
Amen.
Faith and never. I didn't say not law. I said never.
Amen.
Law works get you in trouble.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Law works get you in trouble before you're saved and after you're saved.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, sir.
Because righteousness is connected to faith.
Amen.
And not law works. Now, perfect law works would be fine, but that's the whole point. Law works must be absolutely perfect.
Amen.
Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So we start out on the negative. And yet people have convinced themselves that they can overcome even what negative they have by then trying to sincerely engage in law works. Well, first of all, Paul is clear. Out of the vast population of Israel, past, that's past in Paul's day, and present in Paul's day, and I will be as bold to say even present in our day. Paul is clear. Out of the vast population of Israel, past, and present, even up till this day, only a remnant shall be saved.
That's right. Amen.
Verse 27, it is clear. Yes. Isaiah said so.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. And that's like a little scrap. That's what a remnant is. It's
yes,
a
sir.
Scrap. Compare it. It may be a big scrap, but compared to the whole thing, it's just still a small scrap compared to the whole. And look at chapter 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite. So now he's talking about natural Israelites.
Yes, sir.
I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So here he's making sure no one misunderstands what he's talking about when he says Israel. God's people they foreknew. God hath not cast away his people, but here is the qualification, which he foreknew.
Amen.
He goes to tell us clearly that there are some Jews, and the Jews who do not believe are even broken off from the olive tree of Israel.
Yes, sir.
So someone says, has God cast off Israel? All unbelieving Israelites, yes.
Yes, sir. Yes.
But not the remnant.
Exactly.
Not the elect. What? Ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying? Now, did he not love them? Of course he loved them.
Yeah.
But Isaiah knew the truth. And he had to testify of the truth.
Yes.
Not of emotional desire. Okay? Saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. And yes, there is a little bit of a pity party in here. There was for that. But look. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. Now, he didn't know these 7,000.
No.
If he had, he wouldn't have been crying, I'm left alone.
Exactly.
But God had these 7,000. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Notice the order. They're not reserved because they don't bow, but they are reserved and they do not bow the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, so this is not something new. God hasn't changed gears. He hasn't switched gears.
That's right.
See it? Even so, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. They cannot, we dare not mix them together.
Exactly.
We dare not. So again, Paul is clear. God purposed there only be a remnant. Verse 28. For he will finish the work. That is, God will finish the work. And cut it short. This short here is not duration, but actual numbers.
Yeah.
You can look it up. Look it up for yourself in the Greek. You'll see that. For he will cut it short in righteousness. A remnant is all that God ever determined to save amongst Israel.
Exactly.
He's not, no matter what some premillennialists say, and I'm not ashamed to say I am one, but no matter what some premillennialists say and teach, God's not going to save every Jew in any age at any time. It's always and only ever been a remnant. Why? Because a short work will the Lord make on the earth. Any who impugn the election of grace insult God.
Yes, sir.
We're not here to try to educate men into this truth. Because men are not educated into the truth of God. They're born by the Spirit of God into the family of God, and then the Spirit teaches them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Sir.
But again, Paul's clear. Any who impugn the election of grace insult God. For the election of grace shut nobody out. But what it did was guaranteed somebody would be brought in.
Amen.
Huh? Election shut nobody out. But if God hadn't elected, nobody would have went in. And that's what he says. Even Isaiah knew this in his day.
Exactly.
He understood this. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed. That's the remnant.
Yeah.
That seed. We had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. And yet people think that election is some evil, wicked doctrine. I thank God for it.
Amen.
That gives me hope.
Yes, sir.
And the people God, the kind of people God chose, not many mighty, no, not many noble, but the despised things, huh? The ignominious things, the things that are looked down upon by the rest of modern day righteous society. That's the kind of folks God chose. People like Jacob. people like Jacob. Paul is also clear. Faith. Now we're getting to it. Paul is also clear. Faith, not law works. And I added this, faith and never law works.
That's right.
And I have the right to say that because of what's said by Paul here.
Oh, yeah.
Law works what got Israel in trouble.
Yes, sir.
Not that God was unjust to put them under the law, but they thought they kept it when they haven't even kept one precept.
Right, exactly.
The very first one, to love God with everything we are.
Amen.
The Jews never kept that one, and neither have we.
That's right.
And even as a believer, I just love God. But I still can't say I love Him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Exactly.
But I love Him.
Amen.
The law says love your neighbor as yourself. You know what grace teaches you to do? To hate yourself.
Yeah.
Now, don't it?
Yeah.
Grace doesn't teach you to love yourself. Grace teaches you to hate yourself. That's totally opposite of the law. But it offends the law in no point.
That's right.
It offends the law in no point. So again, Paul is clear. Faith, not law works, honor God. For faith only honors Christ.
Yes.
Law works do not.
Right.
What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness, they weren't worried about no law.
That's right.
God's law in particular. They didn't even know anything about it other than what was written in their hearts and their consciences, and they distort that.
Yeah.
The heart and the conscience distorts what God's even written down inside.
True.
What shall we say there? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness, they've attained unto righteousness.
Yeah.
Now this is a God righteousness now. A God-accepted righteousness. A God-honoring righteousness. A God-equal righteousness. Because that's the only kind of real righteousness there is. I mean, I've heard some men say it, and maybe I've said it before. You know, this is, that some have said, this is not God's intrinsic righteousness. It better be. God's not accepting us based upon a lower level of righteousness. He has to have absolute righteousness, perfection, and honor. The Gentiles didn't follow after righteousness, but they pertained to it.
Yeah.
Even the righteousness which is of faith, though.
Yeah.
Even the righteousness which is of faith, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness.
Yeah.
You see that? All right, let me just give you four things. Try not to be too long. Law works are an insult to God. They're an insult to God's Christ because those engaged in them are ashamed of Christ and His work. And that is what is implied. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. But others are. They've stumbled at the stumbling stone, and the rock of offense is truly an offense to them.
Yes, sir.
So again, I say it. I'm bold enough to say it. Law works are an insult to God. Why? Unless you can keep them perfectly from the first breath you took to the last one you take.
Yeah.
And none of us, we start out at the negative because as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners.
Yes, sir.
In the womb, we were conceived in sin, shapen in iniquity, brought forth speaking lies.
That's it.
So we start off on the negative. I'll say it again. Law works are an insult to God's Christ because those engaged in them are ashamed of Christ and His work. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense.
Yeah.
Now, He's still that even to those that believe on Him.
Yeah.
But they're not ashamed of Him.
There you go.
Now, you see what I'm saying? He didn't become something else to them. He's still the rock of offense. This stone of stumbling, but they're not ashamed of Him.
Yeah.
And I'll try to talk about that stone of stumbling and rock of offense here in just a moment. Secondly, law works are an insult to God's Christ because they put more import on fallen man's doings rather than on Christ's doings.
That's right.
Verse 32, wherefore, why didn't they attain unto the law of righteousness? Because they didn't seek it by faith.
Amen.
You see, it didn't seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. They actually insult God by saying, we can do this.
Exactly. Yeah.
Isn't that what Israel said?
Yeah.
Isn't that what Israel said? Well, and you know what? That's what we all say by nature. We actually, I can do this. But we're so forgetful and we start out with a deficit.
Yeah, that's right.
We start out in trouble already.
Yes.
We're not born into this world with the slate clean and in the middle and then we go one way or the other. We start out in the negative. We're already at an absolute disadvantage before God's holy law. And as many preachers have said, but I know Earl used to say this a lot, you don't have to teach your child to lie.
Yeah.
But you do have to try to train them up to tell the truth, be honest. Now, don't you?
Yeah.
You just got to.
Yeah.
You leave them alone, they'll lie like a dog. Mm-hmm. And the apple don't fall too far from the tree, does it?
Exactly.
No? They are like they are because their mommies and daddies are like they are.
Hmm? Right.
So again, law works are an insult to God's Christ because they put more import on fallen man's doing rather than on Christ's doing. But number three, law works insist man is not as bad as God says he is.
Yeah.
Or they're really ignorant of how bad God says man really is. Hmm? That it could be either one.
Oh, yeah.
It could be either one.
Sure.
Law works insist that man is not as bad as God says they are. Thus, they insult God's integrity. Verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Never did, never will. And this, I was going to say this includes the Ten Commandments. This is the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, that's right.
All the other commands are based upon the ten.
Mm-hmm.
And the ten are based upon two.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Loving God supremely and loving your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Everything else hangs on those two things.
Exactly.
And we can't do those.
Amen.
But yet we try to convince ourselves and even try to convince God.
Yeah.
But man is so wicked now, you got preachers out there saying, well, God just wants your best shot. That's so blasphemous. You understand? So
right.
God wants your best shot. Cain's best shot was evidently with a rock or a hammer or something, and it blowed on Abel's head. That was his best shot, wasn't it?
Yes.
And he was offering sacrifice to God. Now, that's a good shot. It was to God. And God said, I don't respect you or your offering. God's got his way. We either bow to his way or we're in rebellion against him. It's not. This ain't no good best shot deal. That's the same thing they believe about their Jesus. He gave it his best shot too. Our Jesus didn't give it his best shot. He came and he fulfilled the will of the Father.
Amen.
He accomplished redemption, justification, salvation, righteousness, sanctification. He accomplished it all for his people.
Amen.
So again, I say that third one, law works. Insist man's not as bad as God says they are, thus they insult God's integrity. But here's the fourth one. God intends on exposing our law works as faulty and sinful, especially when they're compared to Christ's perfections. You see, we're so bad that the Son of God had to do everything he did, including have the Father turn his back on him when he hung on that cursed tree. That's a stumbling stone. Because, yes, the law tells me what sin is. It defines it. But it don't really tell me how bad sin is. But the bloody Son of God hanging on a tree, being beaten almost to death. The only reason he wasn't is because he held his life in his own power. And bloody Son of God hanging on a tree, being mocked by men and beaten by men, and then have the Father turn his back. It took that to save us.
Yes.
It took that. That's how bad we are. And then we point our finger. I do it. You do it too. Come on now. Let us be honest. We point our finger. Somebody else said, boy, I don't know how they did that. Yeah, we do. Paul done said it. Yeah, we do. We do. God intends on exposing our law works as faulty and sinful. At best, sometimes they're outright blasphemous. We'll take the very truth of God and twist it into a lie, won't we? Well, I ain't never slept with anyone other than my spouse. No, but you probably thought about it right now. And if you have, now maybe you haven't that one, but that's only one amongst 600 and some, they say.
Exactly.
Huh? But even if you just thought about it, Christ said you're already guilty of adultery.
Yes, sir.
And as I told you before, we had a person in this assembly years ago. They were a young person. And they said, well, if I'm going to think it, I might as well do it. No, if you do it, you're involving somebody else.
That's right.
Own your sin for what it is. Corruption before God. We are truly a stench in the nostrils of God. God couldn't even choose us outside of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
We had to be chosen in His person to work, not in ours.
Exactly.
We're so bad, there was nothing about us that would cause God to look favorably toward us other than pure, unadulterated love in and through the person of Jesus Christ. We were chosen in Him, not in ourselves. And we weren't just chosen because God loved us, but because He predestinated we be conformed to the image of His Son.
Amen.
So again, God intends on exposing our law works as faulty and sinful, especially when we compare them to Christ's perfection. Christ as a stumbling stone is not this. It's not, okay, man's able, but God puts Christ in their way. No, it's we are so corrupt that when God puts His perfection in front of us,
yeah,
we stumble at it.
Yes, sir.
We're offended at Him.
Yes. Amen.
Have you ever tried to tell someone about who your Lord is? The Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus of Nazareth? And I say, well, I don't believe in a God like that.
Yeah, exactly.
They're ashamed of it. They wouldn't be caught dead, as the old phrase goes, caught dead laying in this building right here. Do you know that? There's some people out there that overtly hate it that much, but we all did by nature.
Yes, sir.
There was a time when I wouldn't have been caught dead in a group like this.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't say that bragging. I say that with shamefacedness.
That's it.
And when God began to teach me that I was lost, I tried to blame it on the devil and ask God to take it away. I'm glad He didn't answer that prayer. Because He could have. He could have given me what I wanted, Joe.
Yeah.
He could have said, okay, I'll take the conviction away. Huh? Hell, He could have left me right where I was at.
Yeah.
I was asking for that to leave because I thought, that's the devil. He's making me doubt my salvation. God was making me doubt my salvation and forcing me to bow to His salvation, the blessed Son of God.
Mm.
You see, the truth of who Christ really is and what He had to do is truly offensive to the natural man,
the
unregenerate person. He's offensive. That's why the numbers are so small here, and you can find some places that are big as stadiums plumb full of people.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not being told the truth about who they are and who Jesus Christ is.
Right.
So they're happy with that kind of Jesus.
Yeah.
But they begin to hear about a Jesus like we're talking about now, even one that says amongst Israel, only a remnant's going to be saved because that's all I've determined to save. They despise that. They despise that. They don't like it that God is calling out of the Gentiles a people for His name. He's not trying to call all the Gentiles or even most of the Gentiles. He is calling out of the Gentiles a people for His name.
Amen.
Thus saith the apostle Peter or James, or one of them. One of them said that anyway. You see, God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the most dear thing to God in all that is. The most dear thing to the heart of God. He is far more dear to God the Father than we are. Any dearness He has toward us has only come through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. So get God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the most dear thing to God the Father. Nothing is going to be allowed to compete with Jesus Christ, especially our law works.
Yeah.
And I don't care whether you want to talk about it for righteousness, for sanctification, for perfection, and redemption, whatever the subject is. Believing God in Christ is what honors God.
Yes.
And never, Never law works.
Amen.
Never. Turn with me to the second Psalm. We're just about ready to wind this thing down. I'm getting hungry. Turn to the second Psalm. Why do the heathen rage? But they do.
Yes,
and you know who the heathen are, don't you?
Yeah.
Us by nature.
Yeah.
Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine what? An empty thing.
That's right.
And yet religion advances. Their God, their Jesus is a vain thing. He's an empty thing.
Yeah. Right.
The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, and against His anointed. The Christ, the Messiah.
Yes, sir.
That quick in this psalm. First things mentions man's wicked rebellion against God, and it's particularized toward the Son.
Yes.
You see that?
Yes, sir.
Saying, let us break their bands asunder. This man not gonna reign over me. That's what it's all about. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. They're not restraining God. No. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision.
Exactly.
I don't want to be on that side.
No, you're right.
Some people don't care. Some people think they're worthy. And they won't ever be. That's dangerous. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. Why? Because they're against the anointed. The Christ is the problem.
Exactly.
Even though he's actually the solution.
Yes, sir.
But to fallen men, he's the problem.
Yes.
You know? If Jesus just come down here and said, I'm going to help y'all to do your best and you get to go to heaven, there'd probably be a whole lot more Christians out there. Huh?
Yeah.
But that ain't the way it works. Then shall he speak to them unto in his wrath and vex them. Vex them in his sore displeasure. That's our God. That's how God feels about the Son.
Yes, sir.
That's how God feels about men being ashamed of his Son, not believing in his Son. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion.
Amen.
He not asking us to make Jesus Lord. He made him Lord. He is Lord. Whether we want to break the bands of that lordship or not, doesn't matter. He's Lord.
Yeah.
He's Lord. I will declare the decree. Now he's over declared. He made the decree way back yonder before any of this ever existed. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And evidently Jesus said, I want. Because look, here's a bunch of heathen now sitting here worshiping the Son.
Yeah.
Why? Because he asked for it. I'm glad. This ain't, it's up to us. This was up to him. And this was up to him when the decree not declared, but when that, and it's eternal, folks. We're just putting it in human terms. When the Father and the Son shook hands on this deal,
yes,
so to speak. You know what I'm saying? There was a covenant agreement between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit of God. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. So there's no place on earth one of these could run to, even if they're running away from God, that God will not find them. You see that? That God will not find them. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And when God first starts to do that to you, it hurts. It is not pleasant. You see that rock of offense before you and that stone of stumbling, and it hurts. Anger may well up in your soul against God, but he's going to keep crushing and crushing and crushing until you got no other place to flee to. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. But here's the summary to this song, this psalm. Kiss the Son. You see that? And let me remind us, this is more of the kiss like that old whore that came up and fell down at his feet. and crying, needing forgiveness inside. Didn't matter what everybody else thought. She came right in the middle of him, wasn't even invited. And she's kissing his feet. But there's another man, he kissed Jesus. But he did it as though he were an equal.
Yeah.
Even a betrayer. He come up and done what? He kissed him on the cheek.
Yes, he did.
He didn't bow down to his feet, did he? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. You see it? I am very ashamed of myself. But I'm not ashamed of Him. But I don't always show that. There's times when I've thought I should have said something, and Joe, I didn't. But I have to trust God in that too. And there's times when I've been bold and I've said something, and then I thought, what in the world did I just say? It's like you can't win for losing. You know what the old phrase?
Yeah.
You run your mouth and you think, well, I'm trying to tell somebody about the Lord. And you find out all you've been doing is bragging about yourself.
Yeah.
Ever been there? Huh? Yeah. I say that to remind us of this one thing. Faith in Christ honors God.
Yeah.
Law works never do.
Right.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. And your grace and mercy and compassion. Lord, thank you for this food, for these people, and for the fellowship that we are about to engage in. We bless your name in Christ. Amen.